Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
Hola at your boy. Pete Donaldson here reporting live from London. Quiet, quiet London.
Is it still very quiet?
It's still pretty quiet, Chris. From my window, I can see there's a lot of workmen in the street. There's a guy painting a lamppost. Now, we don't need that done.
Oh, very nice.
Do we? He does not need to be out painting lampposts when we're in lockdown, effectively. You're allowed a little bit of exercise every day. So I've taken to walking around with a cup of tea in my hand so that if anybody stops me and says, hey, where are you off to? I'll just say, I'm just having a cup of tea, mate. Just having a walk around. I live over there, so... You know, if you do need to be somewhere very quickly, or you do need to do something that you're not allowed to do, just carry a cup of tea around. People aren't going to question you. They're going to assume that you're from the local area.
Life hacks with Pete Donaldson to break the rules with
tea.
I
am just sort of looking at like Heathrow's, departures, and which planes are actually leaving Heathrow. There are a lot of planes going to Japan. That's all I'm saying, guys.
It's still running.
Look, if I'm going to be in isolation, I may as well be in isolation in a place that I really like. So.
Well, I think they've blocked people from coming in Japan now for full stop.
What?
Like Europe and North America. So you would either
bollocks.
Not be allowed on the plane, or you'd be sitting in like a room near Narita Airport, twiddling your thumbs and doing whatever you do.
I'll take it.
And I could come to like the window and laugh at you through the window.
Or me coolish.
Bring you contraband. Speaking of coolish, can you hear this?
What's that noise?
Is the sound of a coolish.
Hey,
that is the sound
which one?
Of a coolish being opened. It's the standard original flavour.
Because they've just re-released their favourite, one of my favourites, Kalpis flavour, which isn't really a coolish in my book, because it's kind of like, it's more of a sorbet. It's more of
Slurpee.
A Kalpis sorbet they've made. It's a sorbet. It's a straight sorbet in a Capri Sun packet. But it's very delicious, and if you ever get the chance, but they announced on Twitter that they were re-releasing it, because they released it last year and the year, I think the year before as well, and I was very much into it. But the annoying thing was... They're asking for like, you know, your comments and stuff. I'm like, lads, I've been commenting on this bloody Twitter page for 2 years and I've had nothing.
It really is. Yeah, you've had nothing. It's insane how
Absolute
much you talked about
shit.
It. How much? Oh, let that be a lesson, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Lotte, the company that owns Coolish, they don't care. They just don't care.
They don't care about us.
Why have they ignored you? I guess the reason I bought it today was I went for a run, my first run of the year, my first run of 4 years, I think. I went for a long jog and I came back and I just couldn't like walk or move. And I thought, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to have some reasonably priced ice cream in a bag. And the last time I had a Coolish, I remember I haven't had one in a while because they're very messy. Because, of course, Coolish
no,
is an ice cream. They're very messy. It's an ice cream, vanilla ice cream in a sachet. With a little kind of straw. And at first, it's frozen, right? But after about 5 minutes, and I've been holding this 5 minutes now, it turns into a liquid. And if you pull the cap off, it just goes everywhere. And I remember it exploded all over my car once, all over a car I was renting, actually. And it caused quite the mess. And ever since then, I've just not had any. And I hate them. But I think I've been reconverted.
I hate to be callous and rude, Chris, but you are a fucking amateur, mate. you are a coolish amateur.
It's a nice thing. I see the opinion. I see the appeal. Just about 153 calories.
Ice cream.
Mm. Yes, it was 153 calories, and I know for a fact that I burned 150 calories because I was calculating. I'm trying to be scientific about my exercise, and I saw that I burned 150 calories, and now I've undone all that good work, so that sucks.
Good on you. Good on you.
So, obviously, the Olympics cancelled. We talked about that last week. Olympics are now cancelled, postponed until next year. But there is a date. Those of you wondering when the new Olympics is going to be, I think they're still calling it Olympics, Tokyo Olympics 2020. Because rebranding.
They're doing that with the Euros as well. It's weird. Like I guess they've bought all the key rings and stuff. They did the same thing with the Euros. It's going to be Euro 2020, but it's going to be played in Euro 2021.
It's money, isn't it? Good way to save money and branding, I guess. So it's going to be 2021, and it's going to be July 23rd. So the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, 2021, July 23rd. Bit confusing, but there you go. You've got that to look forward to. For those of you who were planning to come to Japan this year to see the Olympics, put that in your calendar. And I think you can get. I think the tickets you've got, if you have got any, are still valid as well, or you can cancel them for free. So some good news there. But some bad news as well.
Is it?
Not even the Olympics. This time, Japan's biggest comedian actually died of the coronavirus last week, Ken Shimura, which I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Pete. Have you ever heard of Ken Shimura?
No, I haven't.
He's kind of like the Rowan Atkinson or the John Cleese of Japan. And I think it kind of made everyone realize how bad the coronavirus is in one aspect. Because he's the first kind of famous person here to pass away from it. So the whole nation's in shock. And he did die quite young. He's age 70. So that's a great shame. If you want to check out some of his sketches, he's pretty funny. If you've ever seen any form of Japanese comedy or any Japanese comedic sketch, he's usually in it somewhere. And there's quite a few on YouTube. So just type in Ken Shimura and you'll be able to find some pretty funny sketches. And often they are subtitled in English as well. So go and check him out. But it's a terrible shame. And Japan's still a little bit behind on how it's dealing with the coronavirus. But I don't want to talk about the coronavirus in this podcast. I'm sick to death of it. I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are as well, Pete.
Unfortunate turn of phrase, I imagine. But yes, we're all very bored of it. And I think this, the podcast space, is a place where we should be entertaining and not talking about the coronavirus. But I'm very sorry, Ken Shimura. Sadly passed away.
But his memory lives on in lots of great YouTube videos. What a legend. Let's do something a bit more upbeat today. Last week, we gave you some ideas for things to do while you're stuck indoors. This week, we've got an interesting mail from Ken from Atlanta. Another Ken. It says, "Hey, Chris and Pete, love the podcast and YouTube channel. I'm heartbroken to have to postpone my spring Japan trip until the fall. But I'm going with my older parents and we decided it was not worth the risk given the coronavirus situation. Looking on the bright side, though, I now have 6 extra months to save up money before the trip. Do you have any recommendations for splurges in Japan? Hope you two are doing well. All the best, Ken from Atlanta." And so I thought today we'd talk about ways that you could spend an extra $1,000, how you could splurge $1,000 while you're in Japan. Does that sound exciting, Pete? Do you like splurging money? Do you like to spend big?
I never spend. The problem with being an adult is, and having a small amount of disposable income, is that you aren't really. I've never really had to.
Didn't you fly to Japan in business class?
Via Frankfurt. So, I mean, that makes it cheaper, doesn't it? So,
another Pete Donaldson life hack there, ladies and gentlemen.
Little life hack there. Go via Frankfurt. Yeah.
Anyway.
You can get some good deals if you fly via places. It only adds a couple more hours. I mean, I would go hand luggage because sometimes they can lose your luggage on the way. But still, I would recommend that. But yeah, I'm not into cars. I don't have expensive tastes, really. So, my kind of splurge is involve consumer electronics, so it's not going to be more than a grand anything I splurge on, I think.
What kind of electronics have you bought recently that cost a grand? What's the most you've ever spent in Japan on one item? Any idea?
Oh, that's a good shout. I probably bought a couple of MacBooks because MacBooks are quite like Apple products are a good couple of $100 cheaper. They certainly were when the pound was strong and the yen was kind of weaker. You get that 10. I think you got 10% tax rebate or 10% tax free, and then an extra 2 or 3% because if you use Visa, you get that. But you got to bring your passport to the Bit camera. So I've bought cameras and. MacBooks, maybe an iPad as well. So yeah, that kind of stuff really. And also, my most expensive splurge was a 1970s TV/radio kind of combi thing. It's a beautiful piece of work. I'm looking at it right now. It's lovely.
What is it, like a handheld TV radio?
It's a Hitachi TV radio from like the 80s, I think.
That sounds amazing.
It was quite expensive. Oh, it's great. It's a lovely bit of work. I tried to figure out how to get me playing The Witcher on it, because it's a black and white little telly, tiny little kind of like 5-inch job, shoved into a boombox effectively with a cassette player and a radio and stuff like that. The problem with the frequencies over in Japan, they're slightly shifted to the right. Up the scale than the British, so you can't get many British radio stations on them. It's really hard to get digital telly or anything through the whole thing because you have to effectively set up your own RF broadcast. So, I didn't manage to do it, but I do own a nice little telly stereo thing.
That's kind of cool. I love the idea of getting some sort of retro 80s electronics. You say you bought that in Tokyo Hands, though. That doesn't do secondhand goods. So was it brand new?
Oh, it does, though.
Does it,
Chris. See, sometimes
another life hack.
Another life hack, the Shibuya Tokyo Hands. You don't see them a lot on any of the others, but Shibuya Tokyo Hands, the one above B1, there is where they sell cycling goods and also... bags and suitcases. The level above that, though, is usually like crafts, like seasonal crafts. So people will come in, sometimes they'll sell shoes, sometimes it'll be like a retro clothing expo, sometimes it'll be old signs from shops, Coca-Cola, Sprite, that kind of thing, light up neon beer signs that have been rescued and restored. But for 6 months, there was one that was just old, lovely 80s Hitachi and Toshiba and Sony stereos and stuff, little tellies and things. There were so many things I would have bought. It looked so cool.
And how much was it, this combo TV retro radio?
It may have been £600, Chris.
£600?
I think it was very expensive. I remember it being very expensive and thinking, hey, you're only in Japan 10 times.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who has visited Japan more times than you have, to be honest, Pete. But that's interesting. Even though I did come across as a bit, I lectured you there, the idea of buying something for £600 from the 80s. To be honest, I can't really talk because I have gone to like steak restaurants and spent that amount on steak. And I mean, that is how I would spend $1,000, to be honest. I'd just go to a teppanyaki, a kind of iron grill restaurant where you get some wagyu steak, go with four people. Typically, it'd be about $250 a head anyway. And that's a great way to spend $1,000, but have the meal of a lifetime, you know.
In the belly.
I'd probably spend it on food. There's also Jiro Sushi. You know, the most expensive, most famous sushi restaurant in Japan. Really interesting. I was speaking to a friend the other day. You've never been, have you, Pete?
And No.
Not your sort of thing.
Well, it's a tube station, isn't it? I'm not eating tube station food. Piss off.
A tube station. It is, Jiro Sushi. Tsukiyabashi Jiro is, it's hidden by Ginza subway line, isn't it? Hidden by Ginza station. And I've met about three of my friends have been to this place. And, you know, I get a lot of people ask me, have you been there? You're going to go. And I don't want to go because every person I've spoken to who's been said, the fish is all right. It's pretty, you know, above average meal. It's great. But the service is a bit awkward and a bit uncomfortable. I was just speaking to a friend last week who'd been there. We met up for some sushi at my favorite sushi chain, which is Sushi Zanmai. It's kind of mid-range sushi restaurant chain. Really great. I can't recommend it enough. And he sort of said, I'm enjoying this as much as I enjoyed the sushi at Jiro Sushi. But here, I'm not being stared at or intimidated or made to feel uncomfortable. Apparently, the staff there are a little bit, they're a bit dodgy. They're not the nicest folks.
Dodgy. Dodgy.
Libelous stuff. Libelous stuff. But I've heard, you know, I've heard some pretty bad stories. I think after that documentary that came out, Jiro Dreams of Sushi, which is a good documentary, to be fair, they did get so many foreign customers coming that they found it quite overwhelming. And they got quite annoyed by it. And I think now you can't even take reservations there. And as a result, it lost its Michelin stars. It's three stars because
that's right,
exclusive restaurants where you can't reserve can't be in the Michelin guide. Not that they care because it's still got the reputation.
People still know, yeah. People still know.
Exactly. But I've not heard of people that I've not heard of many friends that have been there and enjoyed the experience much because even though the sushi's great, you know, if you're not enjoying your atmosphere where you're eating a meal, then it's not going to be a fun meal, is it? And for me, the atmosphere is a really big deal when I'm having my meal. It's just as important as the food often. So
I like the I like the sushi that me, you and your buddy had in Hakata. So that was cool.
What was that?
Didn't we have
you
some
mean
sushi?
Sakata?
Sakata, sorry. I always get those two mixed up. Honestly,
always get it mixed up.
We had some lovely that was a lovely bit of work. And the man who was making the sushi had a big smile on his face.
Because you were there, Pete. It's because you were there.
Yeah, exactly.
He was happy to serve you. He loved it. But if any of you guys have been to Jiro Sushi or plan to go, let us know. Be keen to find out. Obviously, it's really expensive. It's $400 per head, I think, the last time I checked. And that's just for 30 minutes as well. It's a very intense course. I think it was the most expensive restaurant for the amount of time that you're there. That's the statistic I saw because, you know, $400 in half an hour. That's a lot of money. Keen to hear some more reviews on that. But that's a great way to spend some money. And if you do want to go, the trick is to get your hotel concierge or someone to try and call them up for you. Don't call yourself. Right. Get your hotel to do it and take care of it for you in advance, a long time in advance.
I very recently used a hotel concierge to book a taxi, book like a tour of the city where I was. And turns out I'd never used a hotel concierge. I don't like bothering people, and I asked a hotel concierge, you know, tipped him a ridiculous amount of money because I'm so fucking embarrassed about asking anyone. I asked a hotel concierge to help me out with something, and he helped me out. They're brilliant. They'll do anything for you. I know that's what they're there for, but I've never used a hotel concierge before. It's like, oh wow, they know what the city's all about. I'm definitely going to do that again.
Concierges of the world, watch out. Pete Donaldson's coming for you and he's going to harass you and get you to do weird requests. What kind of things did you ask? Was it literally just a taxi? You make
just
it sound like they did something
to
incredible.
Another town. I know, but I wouldn't have been a bucket other. I would have been effed over, no doubt. booked a little car up tootle around the town. It was great. Oh, man. I love that guy.
Brilliant. Concierges. Speaking of hotels, though, that's another great way to blow $1,000. Tokyo certainly has its fair share of expensive hotels. There is the Lost in Translation Hotel, if you want to reenact Lost in Translation, if you want to pretend to be Scarlett Johansson or Bill Murray. There's the Park Hyatt in Shinjuku, skyscraper district. I think it costs about $700 or $800 for one night.
Now,
I have stayed there. I have done it one time about 5 years ago when I was a teacher and I spent half a month's salary just to go there because it had to be done. It was on my bucket list. I love that film. And it was all right. Wouldn't do it again. The room was pretty average. The view was great. Room was pretty average. Mm. But if you do love the film, then it's the closest way to... Actually, no, the best part about it was there's a really nice spa. There's a really nice bath and spa that features in the film. I remember there's a scene of Bill Murray just sitting in the hot spring up in the kind of top floor of the building. And I remember just sitting there in there alone thinking, I'm like Bill Murray. Awesome. I'm like Bill Murray.
I'm sexy like Bill Murray.
Absolutely. And I got a head massage, the best head massage I've ever had. And there you go. That's a great way to spend $1,000. Go to the hotel, pretend to be Bill Murray and get a head massage. If that's not a good way to spend a grand, I don't know what is. Also, Sorellian Tower, the Sorellian Tower Hotel in Shibuya. If you want the best view of Tokyo, the rooms there are about $800, I guess, for a night. Another pricey hotel. Have you stayed there, Pete? I think you have.
It depends. Yeah, that was my first. That was my first taste of Tokyo. I stayed in one in Shiodome for about 4 days, and then I moved over to a one in Cerulean Tower. And I think mine was about $200 a night, maybe $250. But I just presume that's how much hotels cost in Tokyo. Obviously, that's not the case. But yeah, it was a real trip. Like something like 50 floors up. Just constantly just looking out the window going, yes, this is Tokyo. This is how to do it. So definitely worth doing for a couple of nights, I reckon, if you just got there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, maybe if you just got there, is it worth doing it first or is it worth doing it at the end of your holiday just to treat yourself? Either way, it's a beautiful view of Tokyo. And okay. All right, once the jet lag has left you. It's wonderful.
Well, I remember a good friend of mine was staying there recently. He was in Tokyo and I went up to visit him. And I think he's on the 42nd floor or something ridiculous. And I remember going up and opening the curtains and it was just the best view I've ever had of Tokyo. Because obviously the tower faces out over Shibuya Crossing, over the whole of Shibuya. And then in the distance, you've got the Shinjuku skyscraper district. You've got, the park. I can't think of the park. Yoyogi Park. You've got the whole view. Rather than me explain it, if you go on my Instagram, I did take a photo on my iPhone of it, and you can check it out there. I took it, I think, 6 months ago, and just the best view of Tokyo. So that's a good way to spend another grand if you've got some money to spare.
Beautiful.
Tokyo helicopter tour. What about that? Would you ever do a helicopter tour, Pete? Is that your sort of thing?
I'm not a big fan of helicopters, I must admit. I mean,
yeah, me neither.
I wouldn't. I
had a nightmare.
Think.
I had a nightmare about one last night. Just
and yet you put and then you wind. And then you thought, yeah, you're going to put it in the running order. You're going to say, yeah, I'm going to, and then I woke up and I thought, yeah, I'll get in an helicopter. You know, the thing about planes is they've got wings, haven't they? So if the engines fail, you've got a bit of gliding time, ain't you? But helicopters, no.
Yes,
Well,
anyway, if you do want to go on a helicopter tour, you can get one for $230. 15 minutes, $230. Goes over Tokyo Tower, Skytree, Rainbow Bridge. I think the company is called Go Tokyo. That's another option. Yeah, you're right, though. I don't really want to go in a helicopter for that very reason you just explained.
I will say, though, that like the Japanese are meticulous when it comes to maintenance, so... If I was going to go in one anywhere in the world, I'd probably go there, you know, and generally, mechanical crashes are quite rare. It's usually, you know, flying with instruments. I mean, the Kobe Bryant crash obviously being a modern one, but, it's usually weather related. As long as you don't go in bad weather, you're usually okay.
Well, don't think anyone's going to be doing that. So don't know why I put that on the list. Just forget about the treacherous helicopter tour.
Forget about that, yeah.
Good way to see Tokyo, but don't do it. Another good way. Have you got any more? I'm reeling off this list here while my coolish is melting very quickly.
You have a big old honk on your coolish. I would go to Akihabara or Shibuya and I would rent as many of those little Mario Kart things as possible. And I would just drown them in the Sumida River. I'd just throw them in so no one can toot about on them like idiots. I don't know why. I have a complete mistrust and hatred of them. I just want to throw them in the river.
It's awkward because I know the guy. I know one of the guys that works there and runs it. He's a really nice bloke, Matthew.
I mean, there's loads of surely there's loads of competing companies.
Yeah, but no, I think he works for the company, Mario
Kart. Company. Right.
But it's not called Mario Kart anymore due to a multi-million dollar lawsuit. But
who put that one together? Was it Sega?
Nintendo. Yeah, I it's a shame, but I don't know what they were thinking, really, that company. It was a pretty bad idea, to be honest. Doesn't take a copyright lawyer expert to work that one out.
Not really, no, it's excellent. I would probably go to Book Off or Hard Off. In the music section, there's always some lovely guitars, but also I really want one of those Japanese harps, a koto, you know, those and you can get electric ones as well. I'd quite like to learn how to play that. I mean, it would literally just sit there. I can barely play the guitar.
It's interesting, the difference between you and I. You like material things. I like experiences. Which one's better?
The experience of me throwing a lot of go-karts into the Sumida River, I think, is a wonderful experience.
Fair point. Fair point there.
I'd slam a load of Hibiki 30 as well. You know, that Hibiki whiskey. I tried a Hibiki 20 or 25 when I was in, where was I? I think I was in Kumamoto. And it was about a glass was about $27. But I thought, fuck it, I'm treating myself, and it was bloody delicious.
I mean, that's expensive.
It's expensive, but it's
not $1,000 expensive.
No,
can have a fair few glasses of that. Can have at least 40.
I don't even think you can buy. I don't even think you can buy a bottle for that amount.
I don't know what the most expensive whiskey you could get in Japan is. Probably because
there was a Yamazaki 50 that went for like a ridiculous amount of money. A king's ransom.
Yamazaki 50. Bloody hell.
It would be undrinkable at 50, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm not an expert, but I don't know. Yeah. If you would drink it, I know you would. If you got it in 30 seconds.
I'd drink anything.
Yeah. It's a CV worthy appraisal of yourself. I guess another good way of spending some money, stay at a traditional Japanese inn. What about that? Is that up your street, Pete? Japanese inn?
Well, it would have to be a bloody good Japanese inn, wouldn't it?
It would. There is a really good chain, which I do recommend. Hoshino Resorts, literally spelled Hoshino. They have beautiful inns throughout the country. I've stayed at a few. I filmed one in Aomori, Aomoria, and I think it's called Japan's Most Stunning Onsen, Japan's Most Stunning Hot Spring, the video. And we went to a hot spring. It was literally just built into the waterfall, which was amazing. And it's really natural. But they're really good. They're a really good chain, but they are pricey. You're looking at about between $500 to $1,000 per night in one of the Hoshino resorts. Yeah. I mean, there's one, in terms of ones that are near Tokyo, there's one called Hoshino Resort Kai Hakone. The luxurious ones are called Kai, K-A-I. And you can get a nice room there for $500 a night. I haven't stayed there. A friend of mine did and recommended it. But they're well known for just having all the boxes ticked, basically. A good kind of Japanese inn should have several things. One, beautiful kind of rustic traditional design aesthetic. Two, lots of really good food, like amazing kind of almost Michelin class quality food. And three, amazing hot springs. And they always tick all three of those boxes. We'll have to go. Next time you're over, Pete, maybe I'll treat you. I don't know why.
Kai.
Don't know what the occasion will be.
Kai. Isn't Kai Mas to buy?
It is, but I don't think it's that. I've only ever seen it spelt in Romaji in English letters,
right.
So I don't know what the kanji is. I should look into that.
What's the
I know it means like luxurious. Yeah,
right.
It's luxurious. Ooh. I know that much. But you do have to certainly spend a lot. You do have to buy a lot when you go there, given it is quite expensive, but can't recommend it enough. Another option, another great way to blow $1,000. What about a 24-hour city trip, a 24-hour escape from Tokyo to somewhere like Sapporo or Kagoshima or Fukuoka? You've done that, haven't you?
I did loads of them. Loads of little babby ones, didn't I? Last time I went from Sapporo to Fukuoka, did I fly back to? Yeah, I think I did fly back to Tokyo from there. I didn't really use my JR pass at all this time.
Wasted
money.
Dear, oh dear. But Japan, it's not a big country, but it can take a long time to get around it, unless you're going by bullet trains or by planes. And only the last like 4 or 5 years has Japan had lots of domestic low-cost airline carriers pop up, which has made traveling the country relatively cheap and relatively easy, right? So for $1,000, you could get a return ticket from Tokyo to just about any city in Japan for about $100 to $150. And then you can spend the rest of the money on lots of food and toys and excitement in the very city you end up in. That could be a good way.
Lovely.
of taking advantage of that.
I'd take that.
Yeah.
It's better than buying a load of polystyrene heads in Tokyo Hands, which is another thing I'd do.
You know what? I've looked at those polystyrene heads every day for many years, and I've been thinking of an excuse to buy one and what I could do with it, and I just cannot think of what I could do with it. But I want one.
It's more the polystyrene heads, but like near the polystyrene heads is always a bag of polystyrene ears, which I don't know what the ears are for. It's just I don't know. Advertising earrings.
I don't
earrings,
know what polystyrene just... heads for. What's that for? Wigs.
Yeah, putting wigs on. Wigs, isn't it?
Wigs. Yeah.
Wigs.
Unfortunately, I don't have a wig. Won't be very useful. Yeah, I think that's our list, though. Any other ideas of spending £1,000, Pete?
I'd probably spend it on retro video game equipment, to be fair. I walked around. I was in this market near, I think it probably was in Akihabara, to be fair. I was in this market and there was a load of, you know, my little collection of automatons. I went to the shop that just sold the inventor's inventions. So I got a little book about him and stuff. And he's got loads of different weird inventions and stuff. But it's just in this little kind of... kind of sort of Chinese, you know, odds and sods kind of market. They've got these little kind of gachapon machines, but instead of having like little toys in them, there's actually old FM chips from the 1980s that used to go in like retro arcade machines and video game machines and stuff. So you can get these gachapons and what comes out are these little kind of, well, old computer chips effectively. It's fascinating what you can get down the little market stalls of Akihabara, if you're really into electronics anyway. And I'm not, but I do respect the craft.
It certainly beats the gachapon machine we discovered in Nakano that time. The
pants?
The rather shady used underwear gachapon machine. I think they were used. I don't know. I tried not to look at it too much. Probably don't buy that. Avoid those gachapon machines. But there you go. There's our list of how to spend $1,000 in Japan. If you guys have any suggestions, let us know at brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Love to hear some more suggestions on ways you've splurged cash on your trip to Japan or ways you'd like to splurge cash on your future trip to Japan.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym... for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And with that, it's time for Speedy Japanese. Are you ready to learn some Japanese, Pete? You ready to become a master?
Yeah, all right then. May as well. Yeah, fine, cool.
Well, I figured I'd teach the word for rich person, even though I guess to have $1,000 isn't to be rich. But it's close enough. Yeah. What's the word for rich person? The noun. Do you know? Have you ever heard it?
Not a bloody clue, though. Does it have the word money in it?
It has got money in it, yeah.
Oh.
Unsurprisingly. Okay. It's called, the word is okanemochi. Okanemochi. So okane means money, and mochi means to hold. So literally money hold.
The money holder.
Money hold. Yeah. But you hear it quite a lot. People are like, oh, okanemochi desu. Like, people always joke about it. Oh, are you rich? Are you rich? You know. So you do hear it quite a lot, okanemochi. What about helicopter? We talked about the terrifying vehicle that is the helicopter earlier on. What is the Japanese word for helicopter?
I reckon this one is a borrowed word. So I'm going to go with helicopter. Helicopter. Yeah, helicopter. Helicopter.
At least put in some Japanese intonation.
Put the effort in.
Helicopter. God,
perfect, yeah. It's basically that. Helicopter. Helicopter. The only difference is the ta noise.
Ta.
The ta character at the end is kind of elongated. Cool. So helicopter.
Cool.
And in a similar vein, I haven't brought this up actually, but Olympics. What about Olympics? What's that in Japanese?
If that was a borrowed word, I wouldn't even know where to start with that. There's too many L's, Y's, S's.
Try. Give us what we want. Try.
Olympics. Ooh. I don't know. Olympicsu. Olympicsu.
Brilliant. That's my new favourite thing, hearing you say Olympics. To be fair, you had it. You had it. It was it's literally just Olympic. Olympic.
Ah, because you rarely sort of see an N and a P together, do you?
It's quite common, but it's interesting they chose not to put su on the end there. It's just Olympic.
Yeah.
Not Olympic su.
What are you playing at, guys? What are you playing at? No.
There you go. Mysteries of the universe. And now we turn our attention to the fax machine. What do we got this week, Mr. Dawson?
Oh, we got a big fat dose of email from Steph. Hello, Steph. Hi, Chris and Pete. I just want to ask your advice on something Japan related. I visited Japan once before in 2018 and I absolutely loved it. I've since been taking Japanese classes and I hope to return at some point in the future. However, there is just one thing that keeps playing on my mind about it. While I was in Hokkaido, I was walking at 3 a.m. by an emergency text, closely followed by a pretty large earthquake. Being from the UK and somewhat inexperienced with earthquakes, I found the whole thing utterly terrifying. My question is, how often would you say you experience big earthquakes in Japan? I'm desperate to return, but I'm also scared of being caught up in the same situation. I feel pathetic for asking, as millions of people have to put up with earthquakes all the time, but I can't help but feel I would be constantly worrying about a big one happening again if I was to return. Thank you for the hours of entertainment you've both provided me. Keep up the good work. A smiley face, Steph.
Have you ever experienced an earthquake? I can't remember if you
no,
have.
No, never. Completely missed out every single time. Completely missed out.
But you did go to the Kobe Earthquake Museum. Did you not try the simulator there?
I tried the simulator.
Or you could just hop on your bed and just shake the bed around, and that's pretty much
the same. Shake the bed around.
Yeah. It depends where you are. They happen like every day. But you don't feel them. Yeah. They're pretty small. Needs to be like magnitude 5 to really feel it. And needs to be relatively nearby. In Sendai, we get them quite a bit. I'd say Sendai is one of the more Sendai is one of the places where you frequently feel them the most compared to... It's interesting. When I lived in Yamagata on the East Coast, it was very rare. It was like once every year I'd feel something. But in Sendai, it can happen like every month you'll feel something. It won't be big, but you'll hear like the first you hear like... You kind of hear it. You hear this low bass hum. It's really hard to explain, but you hear this low bass hum, which is kind of creepy because you can kind of... It's almost like instinct. You know something's wrong. Right. And then you kind of hear like that kind of banging noise of like a window pane sort of banging very gently. And depending on how bad it is, it can get quite loud. I've had about a dozen really bad earthquakes that did scare me. Living in Sendai in an apartment block built in like the 70s or 80s, living a few stories up, you really do feel it. And it is a little bit creepy,
right?
Especially waking up in the morning. It's not a fun way to wake up, to be honest. But
no, it's really not.
It's very startling, but it's really not that bad. And these days, you know, Japanese buildings have been built very well to withstand earthquakes. We always talk about the Great Hanshin earthquake, the Kobe earthquake, how there were a lot of deaths back in 1995 when that happened. But after that, Japan kind of changed the way it constructs buildings and made them a lot safer.
Right.
And in the 2011 earthquake, it really, there weren't that many deaths as a result of the earthquake, I believe. So don't worry about it. Don't let that get in the way, Steph. People here live with it every day and it's not that scary. You have to learn to kind of embrace it. And part of me does find it kind of fascinating when it does happen. I can be a little bit scared. I do often run for the doorway. Because they say you should stand in a doorway or under a table. But I still find it kind of fascinating above all, rather than scary. So embrace it. Embrace the earthquakes and don't let it get in the way of your trip. But thanks for your question. Very good question there. Steve from Manchester says, "Hey, Chris and Pete, thanks for keeping my spirits up while I'm stuck indoors with my cats and cheap pasta." Cheap pasta? Isn't all pasta relatively cheap? Or do you have expensive pasta?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I live above an Italian deli, so I mean, I guess the problem is I've never actually been in there, but I do give them their post every now and again. But so I can hardly, now there's a bit of a lockdown and there's very limited opportunities to buy food. I think it'd be a bit rich of me to sort of pop downstairs for food when I've never actually entered there or darkened their doors before. I feel very awkward about it.
That would be utterly disgraceful. I can't believe you've never been in there. That's shocking. Anyway, my question is, if you can make a six-part series together in Japan, Pete and Chris, doing something, anything, what would you like to film? I'd love to see more of you guys hanging out together, journey across Japan, and the recent Sapporo vlogs were hilarious and much-needed escapes right now. Keep up the great work, lads. Steve from Manchester. That's an interesting question. A six-part series with Pete. Any ideas,
I think
Pete?
We could,
genius.
I think we could probably go around Japan, taking on the Yakuza, solving crimes. We could be called the Crime Shits, and we just go around solving crimes.
Coolish in hands.
Oh, my God, it's the Crime Shits. Put that knife down. Crime Shits.
My imagination does not stretch as far as that. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I think Pete's already hit the nail on the head there.
Right.
It'd be quite fun.
Crime Shits.
Pete and Chris doing something with the Yakuza. Yeah. That could be interesting.
Take them down. Take their white collar crime down.
I don't think there's much to take down these days. From what I understand, the Yakuza numbers on the decline pretty massively in the last decade. The government's had a real crackdown.
They've still got a hold on everything.
Certainly in Kobe, yeah, they're still pretty strong down in Hyogo Prefecture and Kobe. So there you go. Whatever that idea was, let's do that. Or In Search of the Ghost Wolf. Remember the Ghost Wolf? We talked about it a few months back. There's a wolf, the only wolf in Japan that allegedly went extinct several centuries ago. But apparently it's still there in the mountains near Mount Fuji. You can hear it at night going, or whatever the fuck wolves sound like. And we go there and find that. I reckon that'd be fun.
Bullshit.
Go and find... All right, Peter Spaken. We'll do that one. All right, what we got next?
We got an email from Ewan. Hello to Ewan. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm a year 9 student from Manchester. Sorry for all the shits. And I've been listening to the podcast for about a year and I've watched the videos for about 2 years. Normally, I'd listen to the pod. Are you eating a Coolish? Are you eating your Coolish, Chris?
Yeah, of course I am. I'm still eating it.
Have you any idea how upsetting that is to me?
It's good, though.
Unbelievable. Normally, I'd listen to the podcast on the tram to school, but since they are now closed, you are the thing that makes my revision a little bit easier. Oh, imagine being in lockdown having a revision. I'm so sorry, Ewan. Since you used to be a teacher, Chris, have you got any revision tips? Thank you for making the greatest podcast out there, both of you, and I hope you have a great week. Ewan, what a lovely message, and I'm so sorry you're having to do revision. The thing about revision, Chris, I always found was that I wouldn't do any of it, and then the day before the exam, all of my work would sound and seem incredibly interesting. Like, I'd be doing my history revision like 2 days before the exam, and I'd suddenly find everything incredibly interesting, incredibly captivating, and think, why didn't I start reading this earlier?
Yeah, idiot. I know the feeling. I mean, I certainly didn't start revising until like 24 hours before the exam. It's one of those, I always have that as a nightmare. It's one of my weird nightmares that I have, that I've got like a big test coming up tomorrow, and I regret not revising for it because I'm an idiot. So do your revision. Do it. It'll pay off big time. My tips are, when I was learning Japanese, like, I've never taken learning anything seriously, to be honest, until I started trying to learn Japanese because I felt like I needed to living in Japan. And I did come across some really good memorization techniques for learning Japanese because I had to. My memory was crap. I couldn't memorize anything until I read some books on it. Get a book called You Can Have an Amazing Memory by Dominic O'Brien. I think it's Dominic O'Brien. And that has loads of great memorization techniques for revision. Depends on how good your memorization is, to be honest. Mine was awful. But that book certainly taught me some techniques which I still use today whenever I'm learning something. Or used a spaced repetition system like Unki. There's loads of things online these days, but spaced repetition uses, I don't know if I can go into detail on it now, but basically it's a really effective way for memorizing things. Look up spaced repetition system and thank me later. It's a great way for memorizing loads of stuff really effortlessly and keeping it in your mind for good. But good luck, Ewan. Keep up the studies. All the best to you, mate. And yeah. Are you still there, Pete?
Yeah, I'm still there, yeah.
I heard you shuffling off. I thought you were going to get some.
I wasn't,
some
I wasn't shuffling.
Own.
I was actually wiping my windowsill.
Brilliant. While I'm here trying to give out invaluable
you're
knowledge,
eating you're Coolish. While I'm eating, while I'm reading out Ewan's email, you're eating Coolish. I thought, right, I'm going to wipe my windowsill. Looking filthy.
Spiteful
it's important
revenge.
To keep up standards. That's all I'm saying.
Keep those windows clean. We got one from Amy. It says, hello, Chris and Pete. Love the podcast. It's certainly helping me pass the time during lockdown. But I have a bone to pick with you. I think that Nagoya, the city of Nagoya, is incredibly underrated. Its food scene is one of my favourites. I recommend, what is that? Yabaton, a miso katsu place, and ebi furai sando. From Komparu. Miso katsu, that would probably be just, I don't know what that is actually. I feel like I should know what that is. Ebi fry, you know, it's just prawns in batter, shrimp battered.
So good.
Nagoya is famous for its miso dishes, tebasaki, chicken wings, unagi, eels, and tenmusu. I don't know what that is, amongst other things. I'm passionate in capital letters about Nagoya, Chris. Perhaps if you'd run out of video ideas, you can go to Nagoya and do a video. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Amy from Southeast London. I'm guessing that's because I always talk about how Nagoya is rubbish. No offence to the people of Nagoya. It's just well known in Japan for not being the greatest place. It's just nothing really there. Well, there is, but it's just very bland. I've driven through it a few times, and I just thought it looked like an endlessly dull city, and I judged it by its cover, because its cover is rubbish.
You did.
But you've been there. You like it, don't you?
Yeah, I liked it. I had a really good night out there. It was really good. It's a really good little place to stroll around. That's where I saw the Koto basically the book offs and hard offs, because it was at the end of the holiday, and you sort of feel like you have to turn in a performance when it comes to gifts. So I was mainly doing a lot of that. But I thought it was a vibey little town. It was fun.
A vibey little town. I mean, it's bloody massive. Town. I think it's bigger than London. Yeah. It's huge. I think it's kind of my favourite thing about Nagoya is it's close to Osaka and Kyoto by bullet train. So there you go. Amy won't be happy. Sorry, Amy. But there you go. Amy has spoken. Amy's listed off some great dishes. I did have the chicken wings, the tebasaki, one time when I was passing through Nagoya Station. And they were good. Credit where it's due. They were pretty good. So if you do go to Nagoya, be sure to get some chicken wings. It's the dish of Nagoya. What have we got next, Pete?
We got one from Tobias. Hello, Tobias. Hi, Chris and Pete. Or dear Chris and Pete, rather. I'm a long-time listener to the podcast and I wanted to inform you that the pizza vending machine has started appearing in Germany. I have found several in Bavaria. Thanks for keeping me entertained while driving to work. Pizza stuffed regards, Tobias. Thank you very much, Tobias.
The pizza saga continues.
It was in Toronto, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it started off in Hiroshima. We read about it on the podcast. And then a year off, I think we read about it in 2017. Then in 2018, right. We went to Hiroshima for Journey Across Japan and found it. Then I made a video about it and loads of people went. They loved it. And then after a few months, they revealed that the bloody vending machine had disappeared and loads of people were going. Because they'd seen my video, loads of viewers were going to this crappy little car park in the middle of nowhere on the outskirts of Hiroshima just to get this pizza vending machine. And it's gone. And it wasn't gone. And people were messaging me really angry that it wasn't there. And then after that, here on this podcast, one of you guys listening in Toronto said it was there, if I'm right in thinking, Toronto. Near a film studio. And now finally it is in Bavaria. So it seems to be spreading around the world. Either they're getting more popular or it's the same vending machine. It's just gone a worldwide trip around the world.
That could be the case, yeah.
I like to think so.
I just think Bavaria's like so good for beer. Beer and pizza go together, don't they? So
it would. But have you eaten out of the pizza vending machine? It's not.
No, well, you didn't rate it, did you? No. Okay.
It wasn't good.
It's fresh. It wasn't bad, that's all you want. I never understand. Going to during the Football Ramble tour in New York, I spoke to many people who had very, very, very strong opinions about pizza. And I'm going to say it now. Pizza should not be a national dish of anyone. It's just not that good. Calm down, everyone.
What?
You might think you have the best pizza in the world. It's not that good, all right? It's all about the toppings. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
True. I find
the email address
I found over
is,
years, I'm more of an Italian pizza man. The kind of thin, I like a thin crust and simplicity. But
yeah. I mean, if I was going to go back to the times when I used to eat Domino's pizza, it would be like a spicy sausage kind of meat feast kind of job. Or one of those barbecue chickens. They were nice as well. Lovely old job.
Good old meat feast. But there you go. The question is, where will the pizza vending machine appear next? Hiroshima, Toronto, Bavaria. Where's going to be next? If you have a
in
pizza
your
vending
nightmares.
Machine, let us know. Let us know if you have a pizza vending machine near you. At Abroad in Japan, podcast@gmail.com. Send us your comments, questions, stories, anything, guys. Let us know. But we'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. No matter where you might be, out there in the big wide round. Oh, I can't talk today. Terrible, isn't it? No matter where you might be, out there. I've saw that ice cream. All the coolish. It's gone to my head. No matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world right now, have yourself a great week. Please be careful. Take care. Stay safe. And we'll be back next Wednesday to do it all over again here on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye, everyone. And bye, Pete. Stay out of trouble. Go and clean your windows. Goodbye.
Pizza's rubbish. Bye.
Ah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.